Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Hello and welcome to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia Elcoury.
And I'm Shirley Heyman. As ever, we've been thinking, researching, responding to what you're asking us to do. So tonight's show is going to be all about, well, actually it was quite hard to think of a title. So we've managed to just kind of get it down to getting your teenager on the road safely and keeping them and other people safe once they start driving. A ridiculously long title. But anyway, that's what we're looking at tonight.
You get the gist.
Yeah. So we've actually got in the studio with us a young driver. So good evening to Chloe.
Hello.
Chloe's been with us before. She was on our dance show. And actually, Chloe was on Radio Verulam last night, weren't you?
Yes,
I was. Tell us quickly what you were doing.
I took part in the Dragon's Apprentice scheme, which involves local charities and local businesses. And we actually were the overall winner. So that was fabulous.
Yeah, congratulations.
So well Thank done, you. Congratulations. And to your school, Stags. Anyway, so tonight we're going to be thinking about this topic about driving. We know often we deal with preschoolers. But tonight we're going to go to the other end of the spectrum and we're looking at our 17, 18, 19-year-olds. And I know there's quite a lot of parents out there who are going through this, that I've just been through as well at the moment, getting your teenager driving, getting through the test, and then, oh my goodness, letting them go out on the road. So let's hear some facts, shall we? Lydia, have you got anything?
Yeah, well, the first thing, I just think it must be so nerve-wracking, Shirley, to go through that. I mean, and it must be tempting just to think, you know what, I'm just not going to do it.
Like, absolutely.
Wait till they're at university and they've got a bit of downtime then and everything. Yeah, but that's the problem is there are so many scary facts about children on the road. I'm saying children. I mean, they're teens, really, effectively. That's what we're talking about. For example, in 2011, more than one in three, 35% of car occupants were killed or seriously injured were under the age of 25.
Gosh.
You know, it's sobering.
And something that I found when we were doing our research that was really interesting and surprised me, it said, this is from the AA, they were saying that actually sometimes you get the quiet, unassuming teenager who suddenly changes behind the wheel. And after years of being quiet at school or poor at sport, suddenly driving provides a whole new way to find popularity. I hadn't thought of that one.
It's a minefield, isn't it?
Yeah.
And one thing that's particularly sobering as well is young drivers are particularly at risk in the early hours of the morning.
Yeah.
So I suppose you assume that they've probably been out all night, perhaps had a couple of drinks. Could you?
I don't
Not
know.
Even
yeah, possibly.
I don't know. And it says if your children are learning to drive or newly qualified, here's what you need to know to help make sure that their early years on the road are safe and accident free. So a significant minority could be considered unsafe on the road. Well, that's good. But the problem is there isn't just one kind of experience. There can be deliberate bad driving aimed at impressing friends or gaining a thrill through a risk. That's also a problem, like you flagged up, Shirley.
CP, what about you from your experience? Anything, you know, you think about?
I think quite a lot of my friends would be embarrassed to say that they do speak on the phone, which I find quite shocking.
Oh, right. When they're driving, they're talking on the phone at the same time.
I'm too scared to do that.
Yeah, I don't understand how they do it.
But is there a certain amount of bravado attached to it? Is it like...
I'm not sure. I think it's because us teenagers are so attached to our phones that we can't possibly put them down even for 5 minutes to drive from A to B.
Yeah, I can understand that, to be honest. Something else that was interesting to me, and I wouldn't have thought this, that the country roads are not safer. You know, I'm thinking to my 17-year-old daughter, just go around the country back lanes in Hertfordshire. But no, actually, the AA reckons a lot of showing off and risk-taking happens on the country roads, and sadly leading to many head-on collisions, particularly with trees. So that's something, parents, if you're listening in, maybe keep the children on the main, the teenagers on the main roads initially when they're driving. But anyway, you know, we've got guests lined up for tonight who know far more than we do. So we're going to kick off as soon as we can, getting the managing director of a company called 5 Day. Now, 5 Day do it slightly differently. You don't have a lesson once a week for 10 months, a year, whatever, however long it takes. Actually, Lydia, you do 5 days, consolidated driving. Then you take your test, you take your theory test. After the weekend, you take your driving test and you're out on the road. It sounds unbelievable, doesn't it?
It's brilliant. What a brilliant idea. Mm. I mean, once they can keep the momentum up if they do pass, you know. Yeah. But that's exactly, I mean, everything to do with driving is practice.
Yes,
isn't it?
It is, you know,
that's
yeah.
the key to the whole day. Yeah. So one whole week of it must, like this, going out for a half an hour on a Saturday with your dad is never going to get you to the level of safety that you need, is it?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I know a lot of driving instructors that I've spoken to in the process of getting ready for tonight's show who do not agree with the 5-day intensive course. So anyway, we're going to talk to Fiaz in a bit, who actually is a manager of a centre in North London, so not far from Hertfordshire, and get his view on it.
Now, joining us online at the moment, we're talking to Fiaz. Hi, Fiaz, are you there?
Hi, yes.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Hi. Thank you.
Oh, Fiaz, hi. We've just been explaining the concept of the company that you're a manager or you work in.
Yep.
You're based in North London, aren't you? Is that correct?
Yeah, we're based in Barnet in North London, yeah.
So, you know, we initially thought, well, no, we do. I certainly believe in it because my daughter personally did your course. But some people have expressed to us that they think it's too quick a process. So come on, you sell it to us. Tell us why you believe that there is a big advantage to doing a 5-day intensive course.
Okay, well, the 5-day intensive course, it's speedy, it's structured, and it also includes theory training. The course covers the same syllabus as normal weekly lessons, but all it is over 5 consecutive days instead of being strung out over several months. Full training is given for the theory test and assistance with learning difficulties.
Okay, do you have particular instructors then that will help your teenagers who have got particular learning difficulties?
Yes, our theory training is done in class.
Okay.
And is taught subject by subject in our dedicated training centre in Barnet, and we have training centres throughout the country, and any assistance needed is provided. The in-car training is also structured so that pupils know exactly what and when they are being taught a subject.
Mm.
And it ensures everything is covered.
Okay, so parents are probably listening and saying, that all sounds amazing, but my goodness, how much does something like that cost? Can you give us a kind of figure of how much that costs?
Sure. The 5-day course is £899. This is 5 days of one-to-one in-car tuition.
Yeah.
It includes theory classes, like I mentioned.
Yeah.
The DSA theory test. On passing the theory test, we will fast track the practical test to be 75% sooner than the waiting list. So there's no long wait at the end.
Yeah, so that's a big advantage, isn't it, I guess, than having to wait months maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the moment it's 6 to 8 weeks waiting.
Is it?
And we would get it a lot quicker. But say the pupil does fail that test or any other driving test with us, we will offer 3 unlimited correctional lessons, and that's to correct anything the pupil fails on the test. If the pupil fails their theory test with us, again, we do the same. We offer 3 unlimited retraining before the next test.
And so is that because you're quite confident that your students are going to get through?
Yes, we are fairly confident that they will get through, and obviously it's to our advantage to get the people through the first time.
Of course.
Because if we don't, then we have to, it's free for the pupils, but it's not free to us to retrain them.
Of course. So, I mean, do you have any statistics that show, you know, your learners passing or not after 5 days?
Well, we don't, and the reason why is every week we have mixed age and ability.
From
complete beginners, we get band drivers, we get people that are literally just turned 17, right up to 70 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, if a pupil does fail, they make a mistake. It's not that they haven't been taught properly. So at the end, it's down to the pupil on the day of the test. All we can do is get them ready for the test.
But, you know, you're sitting in the office seeing the students coming in and out. I mean, generally, what's your impression? Are they mostly going, yeah, we passed? Or, you know, how many are coming back to you, roughly, a week?
Yeah, I mean, a lot do pass. But as I said, because we have such a different variety of pupils, it's very hard to get the data on exactly who passes, because we have so many different types of pupils coming to us. So, and at the end of the day, the pass rate is down to the individual on the day of the test.
I suppose it depends how nervous they are as well, doesn't it?
It makes a massive difference,
yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Are your courses running every week of the year? Is it easy to get onto one?
Yeah, you can book the course online, www.5day.co.uk, or over the phone. We run the courses every week, including bank holidays.
Okay.
The only week we don't run is the week including Christmas Day.
Okay, we let you have a week off then. Okay. And just one other question somebody had asked me, if I could ask you, does your learner get the same instructor each day, or do they get a different person each day?
No, they do get the same instructor each week. So each pupil is assigned their own instructor for the whole course week. In the event of an emergency, say something happens, we will always provide a replacement instructor or car.
Right.
If the pupil, for whatever reason, doesn't get on with the instructor, or there's a clash of personalities, we will, of course, address this straight away on the course week, because it's important for learners to feel comfortable and relaxed with who's teaching them, so they can get their maximum results.
Yeah, really. Yeah. So, and can I ask you, did you pass your test through this way, or was this years ago?
when I did my test, I don't think intensive courses existed.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
I did the 1 hour a week.
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah, it took me a long time.
Okay. So, well, thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, we'll put your info up on our Facebook page. And if parents want to think about that, but I certainly would endorse what you've said. And, you know, I'm a bit biased because my daughter passed with you. So, but anyway.
Well, hopefully the information's helped.
Yeah, it has. So thank you for sharing that with us. So,
no problem.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Welcome back to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. So we're talking all about getting out and getting your teenager driving and safely behind the wheel. So we've got Chloe Page, who's in the studio with us now. Hi, Chloe.
Hello.
Thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Now, tell us what it was like when you first started driving by yourself.
I first started driving by myself. It felt a bit strange for about the first 5 minutes, and then I don't know, I really enjoyed it. It was just, it's so amazing to, I've always wanted to drive since I was about 10 years old, and then when I finally passed and I could do whatever I want, it was just amazing.
And did you pass your test first time?
I passed second time.
Actually, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
It is just about getting out. It's a numbers game. How many hours can you get in before you actually pass it, before you actually sit it? But, and did you feel daunted by suddenly having responsibility for this, you know? How old were you when you passed?
I'm 17, so.
And you just passed it. So, like, did it scare you at all?
I don't think it scared me, because my parents drive a lot around for work, so I've always been in the car with them, so I'm used to being in the car.
And what's it like with your friends? Is there a lot of pressure to take other friends with you, and pressure to have a car?
I think we're not pressured to have a car, but if you do have a car, all your friends are like, oh, wow. But my friends and my boyfriend, I can are amazing. So So if I say no, they know I've said no for a reason, so they don't pressure me to do anything.
So, and why would you say no? Give us some
examples. So I'm just not in the right mood, or I've got a headache, or coursework, or anything really. So if I say no, they just don't push me.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And that's great as parents to hear that. It's great that that can be accepted and you can definitely. Be yourself.
Yeah, it's definitely.
But do you think you're typical, though? Do you think there are some teenagers who would feel quite pressurised to be driving their friends around?
I don't know. I think most of the people who drive their friends around a lot kind of half want a reason to get out of doing coursework or whatever anyway. So they just say yes to everyone. But it also comes down to how much petrol money you can afford, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that.
So have you tried driving on the motorway yet?
Yeah, I drove on the motorway my first day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I just think about it as a dual carriageway with a couple of extra lanes, so.
You're brave.
Yeah, I think if you just do it as soon as you can, then it doesn't become a massive thing, so it just becomes normal. I've driven down to Wales. I'm driving down to Birmingham for a conference soon, so.
Do you know, because when I did my driving test and everything when I was living in Austria, and there it's so regimental. There's no flexibility whatsoever. Everybody has to have done 20 hours of supervised driving with an instructor. One of, I think, two of the hours have to be at night, two of the hours have to be on a motorway, and two of them have to be driving in a city with all sorts of traffic. Like, it's so strict, but it takes the fear out of a lot of things. Yeah. Like, when I think about it, if I had never done the driving at night, there's so many elements to driving at night that isn't covered in your average test. Do you feel that? Do you feel it could be better done?
I feel like, well, for me, I started learning in September, so it was dark around 5 o'clock when I would be having my lessons anyway. So I did a bit of day and night. But I think if you start learning in summer, you're definitely not missing out, but it does give you the confidence. But a lot of driving instructors do this Pass Plus scheme. So a lot of people do that after they've passed their test.
What does that mean?
It's normally a set of about 6 lessons. So it's after you've passed, because you're not allowed to drive on the motorway if you haven't passed. But so your driving instructor will take you out for an hour at night, an hour on the motorway, driving in extreme weather conditions. In St Albans, you're not allowed to bay park. So you can do that after your test, because they can't have the insurance to do that. So, yeah, things like that.
Wow.
So you sound to me quite sensible, to be honest, Chloe Page. So what's your message to us parents like me who's thinking, oh my goodness, it's only a week since my daughter passed. She's driving around by herself. You know, what kind of message can you say to reassure me? What do you think I should be doing to support my daughter, or just let her get on with it?
I think to reassure you, if they've passed, they've passed for a reason, and that's because they're good. It's definitely not easy to pass.
Okay. That's good to know.
They have a 36% pass rate. So,
is that? Yep.
So it's quite hard to pass your test. But I think to help them, you can just, if they come back and they look a little bit grey, maybe ask what's happened. But apart from that, don't keep pestering them.
Okay, trust her.
Her.
I know my daughter also, like you, madly, I think, drove on the motorway the evening she passed her test in the morning. She drove down to Heathrow. But when we got there, she was absolutely exhausted. And I suddenly realised she'd concentrated so hard for an hour. I mean, do you think that's something that, you know, teenagers, suddenly they've got to focus, haven't they, really hard? Did you experience that?
Yeah, I mean, we're used to obviously concentrating in lessons and things like that, but it's a completely different... It's a completely different ball game. You've got to know about what's happening behind you, to the side of you, if it's raining, if you've got music on. It's all different things, which I think just come with experience. The more you drive and the more you do things that push you out of your comfort zone, the better you get with them.
Okay. Now, have you got one of these black boxes that we're going to talk about in a minute?
I don't. I was very lucky. My parents insured me that day, so... I had an insurance that doesn't have a black box, but I was expecting to have a black box.
And, you know, do you think that you would have liked one? Because actually, we're going to find out that they do really encourage good driving habits. Or would you stand firm and say, no, you know, I can be trusted?
I think your pet, like, as a parent, you should take a view. I think my parents feel quite comfortable with me driving around, but my friend had a car crash recently and he had a black box, and the black box company called his parents immediately to let them know that there'd been a crash. So they are very good in that respect.
Yeah, I think we're going to hear from the CEO of a company that is the sort of prime company for providing these in the UK in a minute. And having spoken to him, I really would be advising parents to think about doing this black box. He'll tell you more about it. And actually, CP, I'm so interested the way that you're being very mature about it, saying you were expecting to have it. However, your parents kind of didn't do it.
Yeah.
There was no way I was going to let my daughter drive without having a black box in her car.
Chloe, can I ask you, I mean, socially, what's it like about to do it? How is it amongst your peers to do it driving? Is it like, are you a pariah if you can't? Are you, you know, do people think you're in a different league if you do?
Well, a lot of people nowadays, I didn't tell any of my friends I was doing my test or my theory. I just popped out on Twitter like, oh my goodness, I've passed. But I think if some people do feel quite pressurised, but if you're one of those people who gets quite easily influenced, I just say keep it to yourself until you've done it, and then it's a massive surprise for everyone.
But I mean, on a day-to-day level, do kids feel a lot of pressure to have a car, to get a car, to be a driver?
No, not really, because especially like, cars are so ridiculously expensive, and then insurance. I mean, out of 160 people in my year, obviously, probably half of them are 17 now, and there's four of us who have cars. So right. it's not at all like, oh my goodness, my child's going to get picked on if she hasn't got a car. It's nothing like that at all.
Well, that's exactly what I was asking. Fantastic. Thanks. And that's a relief, you know, because times have changed so much. Like when I was going to university, practically nobody had a car, you know, university, never mind school. And now, obviously, I think most kids going to university, by the time they've left university, certainly they would have a car. You know, it's a massive generation gap between us, you know.
It's almost, if you're also planning to go away to uni, like a lot of my friends want to go to Durham or Reading, and they're not going to have their car there. So a lot of them are saying, we'll just learn to drive after we've gone to uni, because they turn 17 in summer, so they've got 1 year where they could pass, and then they're going straight to uni. So a lot of them are just saying we'll do it afterwards.
I suppose that you get relatively cheap travel as a student,
and your insurance is a lot less if you're 21 trying to get insured rather than 17.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
And again, we're going to talk again to the guy from Marmalade soon about how to bring down insurance costs. Just one more thing, CP, before we move on. Seatbelts. Do you think teenagers are pretty well trained in putting seatbelts on these days?
I'd like to think so. I don't move until I've checked everyone has their seatbelts on, but that's because my parents are very safety conscious. Mm. And I think as soon as you start even having driving lessons, the first thing your instructor will check is if you've got your seatbelt on. It just gets you into the habit of ensuring you have it on.
Yeah, because again, some of the research was saying that where you've got a teenage driver whose parents are involved in the process, the facts show that they're twice as likely to wear seatbelts if they know the parents are sort of engaged and asking questions. Because we know, don't we, that not wearing a seatbelt in the back is, you know, just as dangerous, if not more so sometimes. So, you're making sure that your passengers have always got seatbelts done up.
My dad always took me driving in, like, after school anyways, and so he always was checking up on me. And it was great because he taught me things that you don't learn in driving lessons, such as how to check if one of your headlights has gone out or what you do if you broke down, which you don't learn if you have just driving lessons. Mm.
Your dad sounds amazing.
He is an amazing man.
It's so lovely to hear teenagers saying these things, isn't it? It's so refreshing.
I hope your dad's listening.
I don't know.
Great stuff. Okie doke. Well, listen, let's take a little break and we'll come back with the CEO of Marmalade. I'm dying to hear what he has to say about black boxes. I haven't asked you on purpose because I haven't a clue what you're talking about. But let's see what he has to say. Welcome back to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, we're talking about young people behind the wheel. And we've been talking to Chloe Page about her experience of just passing her test and getting on the road. And it's been really lovely and refreshing. And God, I hope all teenagers out there are like you, Chloe Page.
Thank you.
And we've talked to an intensive driving school in North London. And now there's a really important perspective that we want to get followed on the show.
So we've now got on the line Crispin, who is the CEO of Marmalade. Evening, Crispin.
Good evening.
Thanks so much for giving us a little bit of your time. I know you're a busy man.
No problem at all.
So we want to think about getting the children, the teenagers on the road safely and at the best cost for the parent. And that's something you can tell us about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I hope so. I mean, we got into this market purely because we were staggered at the cost of insurance for young drivers.
Yeah.
A couple of my colleagues had teenage daughters, and they knew firsthand about the difficulties of getting on the road and everything it encompassed. We were also at the time working with a number of companies, and they were having real problems recruiting staff and B, holding on to their young workforce because of the rising cost of insurance. So,
right.
That was kind of why we got into it and sort of tried to look at it with a fresh perspective of really trying to help young drivers rather than look at it from just a sort of corporate insurance perspective.
Okay. So I don't know if you've had a chance to listen in, but we were talking about the black box, as the teenagers call it. Can you just shed some light on this, please, for the parents that are listening, because they don't necessarily know what it means?
What is it?
Well, it's called a lot of people call it a black box. I mean, actually, it's something that, because I'm supposed immersed in the industry, I kind of assume that everyone knows about it. And actually,
no, we don't. Not a clue.
No, exactly. It's quite. I'm often amazed at how many people don't really understand it. But I suppose it's still very new. The industry is tiny compared to the overall motor insurance industry. Essentially, there are three types of insurance telematics. So. It's often referred to by people who know about it as telematics, or you can see it as referred to a UBI, which is usage-based insurance. And there are various different types and ways it can work. But essentially, when people refer to it as a black box, they're talking about a box that is fitted into the car that monitors driving. Now, there are different types. So, for instance, the ones that we use are... they normally go in underneath the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be fitted by a professional. So I mean, sometimes we use local dealerships. Other times we use specialists all around the country who will come out and they'll fit the car. And it often just takes off something under the dashboard and they fix it in a specific position, plug it into the battery feed, and then it's live. And it works on a SIM card. So, and there are various different types as well. So some work on GPS. The ones we use have a GPS monitor in them. They also have what's called an accelerometer. And effectively what it will pick up is acceleration, braking, cornering, also G-force. So it can even pick up the strength of an impact.
Oh, right. Okay.
Now, there are other ones, and other insurance companies use different versions. So there's one that's called, referred to as in the industry as an OBD. And what that does is, you may be familiar, if you take your car in, certainly the newer cars, into the car dealership, it's got a problem, they plug it into, that they can plug a diagnostic machine into it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of that. Well, essentially it goes into that port. And so whilst that can pick up a lot that the black box covers, it also can pick up other systems from the engine management system. Now, our view, the reason we don't use that at the moment is we think it can be removed a bit too easily. So it's not always the case, and there are certain monitors that can be put in place, but often that can be fitted by the customer themselves with just an instruction manual. And then the third type, which is often referred to as telematics as well, can work off a mobile phone, smartphone. So there's some insurance companies that have just recently launched apps on the phone that then track performance.
But I really like the idea of your one, so that, you know, the teenager themselves can't find it necessarily, can they, or get it out of the car?
I mean, that's the way we view it. Although, and at the moment, although apps on phones are improving greatly, we feel that's the most accurate. I mean, yeah. I had one that mirrored what I did on my phone. But if you have your phone at the wrong angle, or if you turn it upside down, sometimes it can give it bad readings. Now, that, not all of them do that, but some of them can. And you know, I found if I hit the brakes and the phone flew off the seat, then that suddenly I get a bad mark for braking too hard.
Now, Marmalade say, we always assume new drivers are good drivers. That sounds crazy to me. Tell me about that.
Well, the stats, and I was at a road safety conference today, and you know, everyone kept going on about, oh, young drivers are bad, young drivers are the highest risk. And proportionally, they don't have a great reputation. But the improvements are coming every year. Less and less young people are being injured and being killed on the roads. And that's fantastic, you know. But, you know, the way I look at it is that I think the stats are something like 1 in 5 young drivers will have a crash within their first year of driving. But my view is there's still 4 out of 5 that don't.
That's true.
And, you know, my view has always been that there are some people, and it doesn't matter what walk of life, that you can't help them. They're going to do stupid things. And so there's some that, you know, you can't control. They're going to do daft things anyway. But there's a massive proportion of society that actually want to do the right thing. And, you know, sometimes we have a bit of rush of blood to the head. I mean, I know what I was like when I was a teenager. I was not perfect. And, you know, I put my foot down, I took corners too hard, and a couple of times I got out of it and thought, crikey, how did I get out of that?
Yeah.
And, you know, but I managed to get through it, and I know from experience now what I can and what I cannot do on the road. And so what we try and do at Marmalade is to pass on those experiences, because driving is fun, it's liberating, and it should be fun and liberating.
Chloe Page is nodding to that, our 17-year-old, smiling, it's liberating, yeah, sorry,
well,
Crispin.
No, that's genuinely what I believe,
yeah.
And I believe that you can drive, you can enjoy yourself, you can have fun without being dangerous, and it's about trying to build up that experience, and that's why everything we do is to try and help put young drivers in an environment that they can build up that experience, and then, you know, when they've built up that experience, then, you know, if you want to start pushing it a bit more safely, then you can. But it's things like, you know, when I was 17, 18, I used to, you know, bomb around a country road, and I wouldn't think about the time of year. I wouldn't think that, oh, well, hang on, it's summer, so the hedges are higher, or I haven't got a great line of sight. And now I look at it and think, okay, I've got to be, my pace has got to be consistent with the type of conditions I'm driving in. And it's things like that that you don't always appreciate as a younger driver.
No.
But by having something like a box in the car, then there's that little kind of warning that you think, I just need to be a little bit careful here. And that's why, so with our policy, how we try and do it is we try and give the best possible premium we can day one. And we say, You tell us you're going to be a good driver, so we'll trust you.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you step out of line, we will contact you.
Yes.
And I think we're one of the only companies that will contact you literally the next day. So we're very proactive in that. And it's not that we want to be a big brother, because believe me, I don't want to be contacting you to tell you about your driving. That's the last thing I want to do. However, from a parent's perspective as well, if my daughter was driving badly and someone knew about it, I would much rather they came and told me, so I could actually try and do something about it, than just ignore it, and then, you know, potentially the worst can happen, and that's not what we want.
Crispin, can I ask you about curfews? Tell us a little bit about those.
Well, it's something that we are against. I'm not now. The statistics will always say that, yeah, the number of young people that are injured or have serious accidents often happen at night. And, you know, I'm not arguing against the statistics, but the way, you know, I think having a box in the car is there to monitor driving. So to a large extent, it shouldn't make a difference what time of day you have the box in. You should still be mindful of that box. And I can understand why some insurance companies want to have that curfew, but I also realised that when I was a young driver, I was out at night. I was, you know, driving. I wasn't so driving daftly, but, you know, I was out at 11 o'clock, and often, you know, you'd stay out to the pub at 11, not drinking, but with your friends, and you might run them home. Now, you know, you might get home at half 11. Well, with a lot of the curfews, you'd then be in breach of that curfew. And And also, you know, a lot of young people work late. They work in restaurants, bars, and things like that. And it is a big restriction to them.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's 100% necessary. But again, a lot of it comes down to the individual as well. And that's why I think the way insurance should be going is to try and help young drivers and just in the early years be able to monitor them and get that mindset right that, you know, all things come in good time. And you don't need to, you know, the first moment you get in the car, put your foot down.
No, that sounds really sensible and logical as you explain it like that. One thing you haven't said, very sort of surprisingly, but I think as a parent, is that when I bought this kind of package through Marmalade, our insurance and premium went down about £1,000 less than anywhere else we'd tried. So, you know, what's that? Is that to entice us in or...?
Well, no. I mean, you know, the idea is that by having a box car, then you are getting a lower premium. Otherwise, you know, there are lots of other insurance companies out there that will price it and they'll base it on risk, but not having a box in the car. And, you know, the idea is that we will give you a lower premium and hopefully a competitive premium against the normal market, but you know, your condition is you have a box in the car.
Yeah.
Now, the way our model works as well is that we will insist on a parent being involved as well. So, and we think that's important because, you know, and I know, well, again, what I was like when I was young, if there's a problem, or don't want to tell mum and dad, I'll bury my head in the sand. And that's not, I'm not saying that all teenagers are like that, but, you know, what we don't want a situation is where we have to contact somebody and say, look, you're driving badly, we're going to need to take action. Because you are consistently driving badly, that the young driver ignores it and then ultimately ends up with their insurance being cancelled. And that's the last thing we want.
Mm.
So therefore, we feel that having a parent involved, there's hopefully a bit more of a kind of partnership there, and that both parties will work together to try and improve the situation. Because, you know, I mean, people talk, and I've read some horrendous articles recently about insurers trying to, you know, hidden charges, and if you drive badly, then we're going to throw a hidden charge at you. And that's not the case at all.
Right.
Yes, if you consistently drive badly, we can increase the premium. But, you know, all this is explained clearly at the beginning. And to be perfectly honest, do I want to increase your premium? Absolutely not. Why would I want to do that? I make no money out of it at all. But not that it's all about money, but, you know, I don't, there's no financial benefit to me at all. And, you know, it's not what we're about. We want to help young drivers improve their driving and be safe. That's all it's about.
There's one statistic I just wanted to put out there, and I just think this is amazing. It said last month's Marmalade drivers, the performance you monitored was at 96%. Does that mean they're all 96% of them are, what, driving really well? What does that mean exactly?
Well, basically, our scoring mechanism works on a kind of green traffic light system, so green, amber, red. So if you're driving in green, then we consider you driving safely.
Yeah.
And that the scoring works, I think it's 100 down to about 75%. So anywhere above 75%, then we'll class you in green. Anywhere between 75 and 55, then amber. And then if you're red, then we would consider that dangerous. Now,
right. The
way we work is that if it's amber, then we will probably send you a note. If you're consistently in amber, then we'll send you a warning. So say you really need to kind of watch it because you're getting a bit close to the red. If you get to red, then we will contact you and say, right, you know, you're on probation. You need to improve your driving dramatically. But going back to your question, the majority of our drivers, and that's 97% of our drivers, are in the green all
the
time.
That's brilliant, isn't it? That's great.
Yeah.
It's very encouraging.
Yeah. So, anything else you think parents should know about this kind of facility, Crispin?
Well, I would say, I mean, I'll be convinced, we are not the perfect solution for everyone. And I wouldn't try and say we are. So I think, you know, parents need to have a look at the different options and you know, some might prefer the flexibility of having a curfew if it suits them. And others might prefer, you know, going with something like us that's a bit more open. But,
yeah.
You know, there are lots of policies out there. And, you know, I would encourage parents to look at look at a wide range. I would also say that before people pass their test, try and get as much practice in as you possibly can. And you know, something we do is a learner driver insurance as well.
Yeah.
And there are a few other companies that do that. But I think, you know, again, it fits in with our philosophy of trying to get as much experience behind the wheel before you pass your test, because that's when it becomes more dangerous, is you know, once you've got that license.
Mm.
And, you know, I would encourage parents also to just keep an eye on their kids, because, I mean, it still amazes me some parents that come to us, and, you know, it's their choice, but they're just, they'll buy the, you know, the brand new car and load it up with as many extras, and not even bat an eyelid when, you know, the young driver's taking four or five mates out, and think, you know, that's just madness. You've got to just be aware of what they're doing. I mean, I read a statistic, and this might be of interest to you, the other day, that a young driver having one passenger in the car under 21, the risk of being killed goes up to 44%. Having two passengers doubles the risk.
Yeah.
Having three quadruples the risk. So, you know, it's something parents really need to be aware of as well. It is the peer pressure and having extra people in the car. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't have them. It just means, you know, the driver needs to be sensible.
Yeah, that is really interesting. I saw that as well, actually. Chloe Page, who's 17, says she has a question for you. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Hi. I was just wondering if you think that it's mainly the parents wanting the black box, or if you think it's also the teenagers?
As a parent, I would say it's a no-brainer. And, you know, if I talk to parents, and this is, funny enough, it's one of our biggest problems from a marketing perspective, because we need to appeal to parents and we also need to appeal to young people. And I know for a fact parents will look at the safety angle and young people think, no, nothing's ever going to happen to me. And, you know, if someone asked me when I was 17 or 18, would you want a box in the car? I would say, no, why would I want that? Why would I want my parents checking up on me? And so, yeah, but I would say almost definitely from a parent's perspective, they would look at that. What I would encourage young people to do is, and there are places, I mean, for instance, we offer a facility to come and try out the box, and there are apps that you can get, free apps that you can try out what telematics is about. And,
interesting. Yeah. Hadn't heard
and
that.
And I think what you can find, and what a lot of people then come back to us, is say, well, it's not as intrusive as I thought it was going to be. Mm. I can actually drive what I deem to be sensibly without it flagging red all the time. So I think there's this big fear that as soon as you have a box in the car, you know, as soon as you touch the accelerator, bang, you know, the red light's going to go off and you're suddenly going to be hauled out of your car.
Yeah.
And it's not the case. You really have to drive pretty badly, certainly with our system, you're almost going around corners on two wheels to really set it off. And I'm not suggesting that people go and put it to the test, but, you know, it is not as bad as people think. But what we find more than anything, it's just the mindset. It's just knowing, well, yeah, my mum or my dad can see my driving. Mm. I need to be slightly more careful.
Yeah.
Well, my daughter actually checks hers herself every night.
Right.
You know, she wants to keep 100%. She's quite proud of that.
Yeah.
And the reason it's gone under is me.
Yeah.
Embarrassingly.
I think we have to warn parents about actually be careful.
Yeah. Anyway, Crispin, thank you. We're running out of time. I just want to thank you so much for your time and some really, really useful information. We'll put Marmalade's details up on our website.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good night. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Night. Bye.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.